Well, Father, we thank you for another day in this world in your name. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be here today, to come to receive information from you regarding, Lord, your word in your heart. Now speak to us today, O God, as only you can. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, help me to get out of the way, because no one needs to see me. I don't need to see me. We don't need to hear from another man, Lord. We hear from men all the time. Today we need to hear from you. And we don't need another touch from a man, oh God. We get touched by men all the time. But today, Lord, we need a touch from you. So touch us, Lord, and speak to us, Lord, from your store of wisdom. Speak to our hearts as only you can, God, and help us. Answer our deepest concerns. Answer the mysteries of our lives. Show us the way, Lord. And we will thank you for it. Bless us today as long as you can, and open our eyes that we might see, and open our ears so we might hear, and open our heart that we might receive your wonderful, glorious truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what a wonderful day it is to be in the Lord's presence. Amen. And what they call this, his house, but we are his house.
Amen.
We're just in the building where the house meets. And so it's a wonderful day to be amongst the church. Wonderful day. And Wednesday night, the Lord had me to explain how God speaks, and he's kind of prompted me to explain it again. When God speaks, when I speak, you hear the same words. This, thee, does, the English is English. We all understand English. When I make a statement, you know, when everybody pretty much come to the same conclusion about what I'm saying. If I'm saying that the piece of a material back there is red, everybody will look and say, yes, it's red. If I say the lights are on in the corner, you look and say, yes, the lights are on in the corner. When I speak, we all get pretty much the same message. But when God speaks, he speaks to you individually and personally. He will talk to you about your life. He will talk to you about your concern. What was that? Yes, it is too. No one does that for nothing. You need us to pray with you or just? Okay. All right. Okay. So when God speaks, he speaks to you personally and individually, meaning what he says to Joyce, you won't know it. Mm-hmm. What he says to this, to Sister Iridale, you won't know it. What he says to me, because they're all personal messages. Ain't nobody's business but yours and God's.
Well,
you understand? And whoever you blab it to. And sometimes it comes to so good until it's hard to hold, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got to tell somebody. See? Mm-hmm. But God will speak to you personally and individually. He will answer many of your deep concerns. And the man of God will be speaking, and I have no idea that he said not one word to you. You know why? Because it's not my business. Mm-hmm. He said that to me a few times because it's none of your business. Plus, he said, I got mad when he said, hey, you ain't got to talk to me like that, God, you know. But that was the last time he had to tell me that, because I never asked him what I asked him again, you know. But he's just like that. He's a very personal God. He's real, but he's very personal, as I hope you'll find out before we dismiss today. So we're in the book of Revelation. Very challenging book, a very challenging time in history. In Revelation chapter 5, We stopped off there, I believe, in verse 10 last week. And we're going to pick up in verse 11. I hope God will just bless your heart and speak to you today from the book of the Revelation. A sealed book with seven seals, they call it, it's really a scroll, had been presented. And the call of the question had been asked, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? And of course, the answer came and said, only the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, was found worthy to open the book. Verse 11 says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. And that could be the voices of many angels, but the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know, I cannot help but be amazed at the number of participants that are identified here. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Each time I do the math, you know, it comes up with numbers beyond my everyday experience. 10,000 times 10,000, you're multiplying 10,000 times 10,000. And I, because I did it, I always do it anyway. I do it anyway. And I came up with 100 million. What in the world is 100 million? I know what 1,000 is. I know what 10,000. I mean, you know, when it gets up into the millions and the 100 millions, I don't know about you. I have no idea what that is. I mean, it'll fill this room probably with money, you know, would fill this room. 100 million. And then it says, not only 100 million, but thousands of thousands. Not 10 times 1,000. Not 20 times 1,000, not 30 times or 40, 50, 100, but thousands of thousands. This can only be cast as numberless. I mean, if you can imagine this scene of the voices of many angels, and it was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of them. And all of these, and it said that I heard the voice. I said voices, but it didn't say voices. I heard the voice. That means it was like one voice. One voice. All of them in unison. Oh, what a beautiful scene that must be. 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, as far as the eye can see. And all of them saying in unison. The loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All of these angels are saying this, I imagine, in unison. Man, that is something. Something. And John heard this number, this group of angels, beasts, and elders, and they said that again. And the scene in heaven with a numberless group all witnessed the same thing about the Lamb. What a wonderful witness. Power. And to receive power, the word is dunamis. It's the same word that you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power. You will receive dunamis. It's miraculous power, miraculous working power. It's a great power. It's an authority to do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to forgive sins, he can forgive. If he wants to give eternal life, if he wanted to command angels, he had power to do. He received power to do anything that he wanted to do. And it's also witnessed by him rising from the dead, saying, all power is given unto me. Amen. In heaven and earth. And so when he rose, he didn't say, I got more power than I had before I was buried and resurrected. He didn't say, I got a whole lot more power than I had. He said, I've got all power. All power. There's not a piece or a drop of power that he does not have.
Amen.
He's got power over the president. Mm-hmm. He's got power over Putin. He's got power over Kim Jong-un, as Donald Trump calls him, the Rocket Man. He's got power over all things. So do you have a problem that you're dealing with? That'd be a yes or no.
Yes.
He's got power over that.
Amen.
Thank you.
He's got power over that. He's got all power. Now there's some things the Lord leaves with me that I wish he'd take. Amen.
Amen.
But there's sometimes he'll leave some things in place. And what I need to do is learn the lesson that I need to learn from him allowing some things to stay in place.
Okay.
Y'all, it's not always the devil. It's not always the devil.
Amen.
He's just one person. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, when you keep saying it's the devil, you kind of set yourself up like, you know, I'm so important that the devil gonna leave what he's doing and come over here and harass me. He didn't think about you.
Amen.
He already got the mankind in his grasp. Sometimes it's a devil. Sometimes it's some spiritual influence. Sometimes it could be a man with bad intentions that's somehow under the control of the devil. Listen, Jesus says, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. And he also said to them, he says, your father is the devil, and the lust of your father he'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. He was a liar, and he's a liar, and he's the father of a liar.
Amen.
Okay, so when you meet somebody that's lying all the time,
Amen.
There's some devilishness going on in there.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
There's something that ain't clean going on in there. They're lying all the time because Satan is a liar, and he's the father of a lie. And so that kind of relates them to him in a kind of a way when they're always lying.
Yeah.
It's kind of satanic if they're lying all the time. Now, you could go and call them satanic if you want, but put some space between you when you do it. You know, folks won't like being called satanic. They won't like being told that they're working along with Satan. But the truth is, they are when they do that. They're working with Satan. What? When you gonna? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take. Don't you worry. Just leave it to me. And it's being the same condition 6 weeks later. I thought you said you were gonna do it. I was gonna do it, but my car broke down, and I lost my wallet. And now you're still lying. Your car ain't broke down. You ain't lost no wallet. You're just a liar. You're just a child of the devil. Now you're doing Satan's work.
Amen.
Okay, all right, let me stop. I'll sound like I'm fussing. I ain't fussing. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise
power and riches. Riches, of course, riches, that speaks of wealth. Of course, when we say riches, we always think of money and possession. But it means the wealth of God. He's got everything that God has. In other words, everything belongs to him. To receive wisdom. Wisdom means to be made wise, to receive. It's the natural wisdom of God and his counsel, his understanding and his ability to create and to uphold, his ability to govern and his ability to judge, to receive wisdom. And all of this is what they're saying that the Lamb has in these things. And he has the ability to redeem, which is what he did to us. He redeemed us. To redeem means to purchase. It means to buy. It means to pay the price for. So he redeemed us. He paid the price for us.
Amen.
Thou art worthy to receive strength.
Strength.
That's force. That's forcefulness. That is the force and ability to push or to bring about things, to make things happen and move. It's the physical strength to do whatever he wants to do. That means he can move in our physical world when and how he wants to. Whatever he wants to do, he can perform miracles, he can conquer, he can create, he can destroy, he can even cast into the lake of fire. It's all in his hands to do it, because all power. Also to receive honor. honors, valuables, and esteem. You know, it's of the highest degree of dignity. I mean, he has the highest degree of dignity. It is the rewards of God and his people. And to receive glory, and that's just dignity again, and it's this glorious praise, to receive praise and to receive worship. It means the image of God, that God speaks of God's glory and God's magnificence, to receive glory, God's splendor, and the royal dignity and royal majesty. I mean, he is one to be worshipped. He's one to be lifted up, to be extolled. We should worship him.
Amen.
We should take him very, very seriously as Lord, because he is. My mom used to say something, and I didn't quite get it as a kid, but she said, "I don't play with God." She might do a lot of things, done a lot of things. She said, "I don't play with God."
Amen.
I don't play with God. I understand now.
Yeah.
She was very serious about that. And then to receive blessing, that's the Greek word eulogia, which means fine speaking. It's elegance in language.
Okay.
It means to worship or to acknowledge and a commendation. Now, Revelation 5:13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Everybody is saying this. Everything is saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 18:16 and 2 Corinthians 13:1 tells us, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." That's here on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it only takes two or three to witness, to establish a matter. Here, this heavenly vision, John records a multitude of witnesses.
Yeah.
You can't question the truth of what's being said here. I mean, there are millions of witnesses in one voice, as there was one accord on the day of Pentecost, saying one thing together all the way through, but with perfect timing.
Amen.
Every heavenly creature, every earthly creature, every creature under the earth, every creature in the sea, and all that is everything that are in them, all in them, they would make a united proclamation to the Lamb. Everything on one accord said, "We bless and honor and glorify the Lamb who was and is all power forever and ever." That's what they're saying. We all bless him. We all acknowledge him. Now, Revelation 5:14, and the four beasts, and you're going to find that the four beasts and the 25 elders are going to be seen through the book of the Revelation. I was looking in chapter 19, and there they were again. The four beasts and the 24 elders. And so they seem to hang around in this area. And the four beasts said, "Amen."
Amen.
And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Just the intention of the Lamb caused everyone and everything everywhere to erupt in worship of him who lives forever. Not there yet. But he said, "As I live, saith the Lord, that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God." That includes old Satan.
Amen.
When it comes to me, I'm going to say, "You're Lord," to the glory of God. When it comes to you, you're going to say, "You're Lord," to the glory of God. And many of believers are going to go, "You're Lord," to the glory of God. And then it's going to come to Satan. He's going to say, "You're Lord."
Yeah, ain't no one.
To the glory of God. But he's going to say it. He's going to say it. He'll be gritting his teeth. He's going to say it.
Amen.
Has no choice. Because he has all power. And he has all the glory.
Amen.
What he says yours.
Yeah.
So it's good to get under his umbrella. I used to serve a lot of other little gods in my life. Witchcraft, the occult, talked about the stealing and the thieving, talked about the illicit lifestyles, all of those things.
Amen.
I was not a hypocrite. I was a sinner.
Amen.
You cannot call sinners hypocrites.
Yeah.
They might be sinners, but you can't call them hypocrites.
Yeah.
They're just sinners. Yeah. They do what sinners do.
Right.
It's y'all, I think hypocrites in the church, see? And I've been there, so I ain't looking down my nose at you. It's a short nose, but I ain't looking down my nose at you. So don't think that I'm judging you or anything. I can't judge you.
Amen.
It's matter of fact, it is not a smart thing to do. You know why? Because it says with the same judgment that you judge with will be measured to you again. So if I see you a drunk, and I say, look at him. Every time he's supposed to be this, supposed to be that, look at him, a drunk, falling down drunk. He ain't right. You know, I'm act like that. Next thing I know, I'm looking at something over here like, or some hard hit me in life, and I can't pray through. I said, well, it won't hurt to take a little nip.
It's on
in. Anyway. You know, after about 20 minutes, you say, well, that wasn't so bad. Bip. And the next thing you know, that measure has been measured to me again. So I'm just telling y'all, somebody might judge you, but I might talk about you now, but, you know. But y'all talk about me, too. Don't say amen.
Amen.
Don't sit there and lie now, because if you lie, y'all going to get you for lying. So, you know, honestly, the honest truth is we do talk about each other.
Amen.
Can we admit that?
Amen.
All right, now don't say, you know, Pastor, I don't never say nothing about you. Now, see, that's a lie. I ain't got to be there to know human nature. That's how we are. That's how we are.
Amen.
We talk about each other. Sometimes we're not so nice. But you won't say it to the person, you know what I mean? You don't really mean it. Because when you come, you're nice and you're cordial and, you know, you're careful not to hurt each other's feeling and that kind of stuff. You just got a little thing going on in there. So the problem is really not the person you're talking about.
Amen.
Y'all know what the problem is?
Yeah.
It's you. It's how you're dealing with this thing.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, if a brother or sister is caught in a fault, ye which is spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Yeah.
So I can see all kinds of fault in you,
right.
But really I'm looking in a mirror, and it's really me. I got a bigger fault than you got, because I ain't prayed for you yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I see I'm supposed to be praying for you, not talking about you and tearing you down.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
It's hard to tear somebody down when you're praying for them.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. But these old rascals, these old bloodthirsty Christians, man, they are mean. As mean as a snake and twice as deadly, some of them. They are bloodthirsty and they want to put as many people in hell as they can. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Christians, they'll do that, man. You're going to hell without God. Whoa, no, that's not good news. The Bible says to spread good news. That's not good news. And they'll go down the street and say, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. It's like, that's, you know, are you witnessing? What you call that you're doing?
Right.
You know, thanks a lot. Yeah. If you're going to heaven, well, as long as I don't go where you are, I'm going to be better off. I don't want to be where you are. You say you're going to heaven, you know. Well, sound like I'm fussing again.
Yeah,
well, right. Lord help me. This thing's just kind of come up, you know.
Amen.
I didn't study this stuff. But there are a lot of bloodthirsty Christians.
Amen.
They want to see people get it. because of their shortcomings or their downfalls. But I can tell you, for every fault I find in you, I can find in myself if I look hard enough. So, the moral of this is, if you want to find fault, look inside. Because there is plenty to be found in all of us. I said something last week and I said, wait a minute. And you know, later the rest of the week I said, did I really say that? I didn't answer it because I don't know. You know, I don't know. I didn't answer. But the intentions are good. When you talk a lot, again, when you talk a lot, you have a tendency to move over in the line if you're not careful. Nobody talk all the time and not laugh. You can't keep my attention just by talking about regular stuff.
Amen.
After a while, you got to embellish and kind of color it in and make it exciting. You know, and you don't say that they went over the hill. You say, man, they went over the hill and woo! And you just kind of color it in. You're going like, you know, it wasn't all that. They just went over the hill kind of fast and then turned the corner and stopped. You know?
Amen.
Right? It's so much simpler, you know. So we got y'all. If you talk a lot, I'm just telling you, God already warned me. He said, "Be careful. You don't start lying." Then he reminded me. Remember, I killed two people that actually lied. You got my attention, you know. Oh my goodness. In chapter 6, thank God for chapter 5. That was the scene in heaven. Y'all, we've been watching and looking into heaven with these verses that we have been studying. What we've seen is what it's like in heaven. You don't need to go and get no book people wrote. It's okay if you want to, but listen, God has given us a powerful scene right here in Revelation of what heaven is like around his throne. Now, he didn't go out and say what the rest of the land is like, because there's a whole lot more than just the throne of God. I think the throne of God is where we go to church. We go to worship. But that's all you got around the throne of God. Where there's a lamb, where they're falling down, throwing their crowns down, and just worshiping God. See? But Jesus made a place for us. He's making a place for us. And that's a dwelling place where you live. And so that means there's more to heaven than even just this scene. But I can tell you what. It talks about the conditions there. No dying, no crying, no heat from the sun. For the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, it's bad to compare him to a fluorescent light, but a fluorescent light generally does not cast a shadow. The incandescent lights, you're walking and you cast a shadow. But fluorescent lights generally don't cast a shadow. And if it does, it'll be a very blurry shadow. Well, Jesus is the light of heaven. We ain't got no shadows in heaven. We got shadows here. I will not expect to see my shadow in heaven, because the light of Jesus is everywhere in heaven.
Amen.
It's not just up above like the sun. It's in the atmosphere. The whole of the atmosphere is the light. That means he permeates the place. He's the light of heaven. You know, that's pretty phenomenal. And in chapter 6, the scene shifts from future events in heaven and then to future events on earth. We've seen what will happen in heaven between the rapture and the tribulation. When we get into chapter 6, we will see what will happen on the earth. We're going to get into the tribulation area here during that same period of time. It seems that the tribulation period will last something around 7 years or so. 7 years, with the worst part possibly being in the latter 3 to 3.5 years of the 7 year period. Now, I don't know about you, but Revelation has always confused me. It has always thrown me. I get so far and they talk about these horses and these bulls and these trumpets. It's hard to follow just reading through. While the events of the tribulation period will take place on the earth, which includes the different activities of what they call the Holy Trinity, Satan and the, you know, the false prophet and the beast, they're going to mimic God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost, but it's going to be an unholy Trinity. And they're going to be doing this. And also rebellious men will be working along with them on the earth. While that's happening on the earth, Jesus will be in heaven directing from heaven. He's directing from heaven. The number 7 is quite prominent in our study in the book of the Revelation. Number 7, that's the number of perfection, God's number. The Holy Spirit has divided the events of the tribulation into 3 sets of 7s. And we can call this somewhat of an introduction. He's divided it into 3 sets of 7. 7 seal judgments, which is in chapter 6. 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 bowl judgments. It's just 3 sets of 7. And so that kind of breaks it down, because when I read them, they all kind of come together in my mind. But it's just 3 sets of 7. So if you do the logical math, have you ever read your Bible with a calculator on the side and use the calculator? There's so much numbers in there that you can calculate those numbers out to see what it's saying. When you're reading, so that's how you follow genealogies and things and how old they were when they went. Right. And it's certain things like this one here says 3 sets of 7. So 3 times 7 is 21. But the thing about this is that's the logical thing, but it's really not so. And here's one of the mysteries that we run into. It actually comes out to be a different number. Chapter 6 of Revelation starts out with opening the 7 seals. 7 seals. The first 6 seals will be broken one at a time, and each seal will produce a judgment for a total of 6 judgments of the 7. The 7th seal will not produce a 7th judgment. Instead, it will produce 7 trumpets. Remember the 3 sets of 7? Mm-hmm. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowl. And so what the 7th seal is going to be, it's going to produce the next set of judgments. And so it's not going to be 21. Now, the first 6 trumpets each produce a judgment for a total of 6. But the 7th trumpet will produce 7 bowls. So when it goes through again with the 7 trumpets, you know, the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, there'll be 7 trumpets, but only 6 of those trumpets will produce judgment. The 7th trumpet will produce the 7 bowls. You see? And so that's one of the things that really threw me, that it came out of the first judgment. It's almost like they're linked when it comes down. And so there's no space in between the one and the other. There's no break in between there. It's like this. The 7 seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the 7th one introduces the trumpets. And then the trumpets, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the 7th one produces the bowls. There's no break. It's like 3 links of a chain. And there's no break in between those 3. And so it's a different number. It comes out to really to be 18 judgments rather than 21. But when you're reading, you go through and go 21 judgments. And then you miss the 7th, that change that happened. But it don't make sense in your mind. Your mind is going, something ain't right. And you just keep reading. You don't get it. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great mystery. That when the 7th bowl is poured out, the tribulation period will come to an end. So you've got the seals, you've got the trumpets, then you got the bowls. And when that 7th one empties out, it's the end of the tribulation. And so you find these judgments of the tribulation period that's taking place on the earth. That's what it is. And you see that it begins to open things up. Like the 7 seals. The first seal, that you find someone, and we're going to study this more in particular starting next week, a rider comes out on a horse, on a white horse, and it releases the Antichrist. That's the first thing that happens. Here comes Antichrist riding on this thing in Revelation 6:1. And then the second one is the ride of a red horse. The red horse removes peace. What little peace we got? Peace is police, you know. Sometimes they mess it up, right?
Right.
I give up and they shoot you anyway. Mm. You got a piece of paper in your hand and they shoot you anyway. That's scary. And you got good police. I'm not saying that they're all bad. Yeah. You just got a few bad ones.
Amen.
I personally think there's some club that they join when they do this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? But you know, so it's going to affect the peace of the earth. The black horse. Now the third one is a black horse. It's going to cause economic problems. Money problems. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause the economy to collapse. They're going to have problems living and buying things. And the fourth seal is the rider of a pale horse. And that's 1/4 of unbelievers will be killed. That's a lot of people that's dying. 1/4 of unbelievers will be killed in Revelation 6, 7, and 8. Then the fifth seal were the souls under the altar. That is quite a vision. You've got souls under the altar. And these are the persecution and death of believers. And so during the tribulation period, believers are going to be persecuted and killed. Well, what believers? Not us. If we go with Christ, we're going to be in heaven with him. So apparently there will be people that will believe him during the tribulation period. The thing about that is, if a person cannot get saved by the blood of Jesus on this side of the tribulation period, when we have to just say, Lord, we thank you, we accept you, we accept your gift of salvation, thank you, Lord, save me, and you're saved and changed, how harder will it be in the tribulation, because then they'll be saved by their own blood.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. They'll be saved by their own blood, not by the blood of Jesus. So, this is the age of grace, y'all. This is God's grace. The door's open. He's saying, hey, come. 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 Door's open. I've done the work. I've got all power. Come now, because my grace is open to you. And we're saved by his blood. But those that go into the tribulation will be saved by their own blood. And they're going to have to die if they get caught. They're going to be hunting them. They're going to be hunting them down. Now, if you've got economic collapse and you've got no money, but the call goes out, any Christians you find, we will give you a loaf of bread and a jug of milk. And you ain't got no... We hunting Christians. We're going to turn you in. You better not say Jesus. Unless you cursing his name, you better not raise him up. Because they will get you and turn you in there. Hopefully, nobody in here. We'll all be having fun in heaven and hanging around the altar, and, you know, trying to learn how to really worship God.
Amen.
How to really let it all hang out for him. But that's the tribulation period. And then the sixth seal is going to bring a great earthquake. That's going to be cosmic upheaval. It's going to affect the sun. It's going to affect the moon. It's just all of what we have, this beautiful day that we have. It's going to affect all that kind of thing in the sixth seal. And then the seventh one, that's when the seven trumpet judgments will come. And so next time we will have hopefully more to tell you about Revelation chapter 6, and just to kind of give you just a little taste of what is going to be there. And maybe this will cause us to maybe reach out to people and say, y'all, you know, you don't want to go down the ship. You know, it's a sinking ship, man, and you know, even the rats are banning it. So on a final note, it's apparent that much of what we've studied has future implications to it, as though these things are sure to happen. And, you know, and it's saying, as we study Revelation, that it shall be this, and this, and then it shall be this, and this will happen, and when this has happened, then this. So it has a future implication to this. But I remind you that he who calls himself true says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
And so prophecy means foretelling. So this is coming from Jesus. Remember, at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, John heard a voice behind him. And it said, and he looked, and it says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of God's creation. And he looked, and there stood Jesus. And so this is the testimony. This book is the testimony of Jesus Christ, even down to where we are and moving forward. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ, what he's done, what he's going to do, who he is, who he will always be. And so we're getting a wonderful glimpse in the book of Revelation. And I hope that you kind of stick with it. Before I got to the book of Revelation, I was all scared and worried and concerned. You know, how do you teach the book of Revelation? And I got this person teaching the book of Revelation, and I got a big old thick thing of CDs that thick. I haven't listened to one. And I tried to listen to the other one, but I can't follow him. I just can't follow him. He know what he's talking about, but I just can't follow him to teach it. So that means I got to get in here and study this stuff, you know, and I got to get in here and dig it out. And I got a couple of helps that I use, but it's mostly the Holy Ghost. It's this Bible. It's some of the references. You know, we can read, we can understand it, but it takes work. It takes a lot of work, but we can understand this to where the Lord wants us to understand it. And believe it or not, my handling of it is a cursory review. What I do here, this is not a deep handling of the book of Revelation. It's my first time through, and it's more like a cursory review, but it's still deep, ain't it? It's cursory, and it's still deep. And so, read Revelation 6 if you have it. Don't take that long. I'm not asking the world of you. Just read it. Sometime next week, just read it. Spend a little time with it and talk to the Lord about it. And it's going to show us what it's going to be like. Now, let me say, since I got saved in 1980, I've been looking for Jesus to come. It's 2018. I'm still looking for Jesus to come, but he still hadn't come yet. Amen. I'll be 70 shortly. Amen. And if he had come, then he still hadn't come, see? And I might die and go to be with the Lord. Amen. And he still may not come. Amen. But the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's waiting for as many to come to repentance as possible. And for that, he makes us wait. Because all of us are going to go together at the same time. That's why y'all might put me in the grave. Y'all can shed a few crocodile tears, but don't get too broken up about it. Because if you're here and I'm there, I'm in a whole lot better shape than you. I need to be crying for you.
Oh, yeah.
You got to deal with this thing, and you got to stay here and deal with this thing. Now, those that die and go on to be with the Lord, they have to look forward to him coming to call us out of the grave. There's going to be a trumpet. He's going to call us out of the grave. He's going to raise us from the dead. And then we're going to go up. And then after that, then he will change those that are alive. And then we'll all go together with them to meet him in the air. Then we'll go to be with him forever. That means he's going to take the whole group at one time. He's going to call them out of the ground. He's going to call them out of the sea. There's some in the sea, you know. I imagine there's some in the air because some got burned. Some died in fires. Well, he's got all power. I mean, surely he can recomposite that. You know what I mean? I can't, but surely he can. He could bring those people back and get the ash from the earth and get the smoke and the gas that they turned into and bring it back together and then take us all together. Not one of us are going to go without the other. From generation to generation back, from the very, very first day of the church, everyone that's died is still here body-wise. Absent from the body, so present with the Lord. Yes, we are there in our souls, But he's going to bring back and he's going to unite our soul with our bodies. And then he's going to take us all together at one time. It's going to be a mighty, mighty reunion.
Amen.
You're going to see relatives that you never met. Amen. They're going to know you by name.
Amen.
They're going to say, ah, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say, great, 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 great granddaddy.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Moses. You know, we'll know each other. There won't be, we won't have this memory thing and not, you know, mind blocks and all of this. You know, we're going to be like him when he comes to take us. What a wonderful, wonderful reunion that's going to be. And I could see my mama. I know what she's going to be doing. She's going to be standing there with her arms folded, patting her feet on the ground, wait for me to recognize that that's her standing there. I'll be, hey, yeah, ah! And my mama going to be standing there. Looking. I could see her standing there looking and patting her feet. So, okay, oh, now you see me. You know? Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The book of the Revelation is a great book, a powerful book. And I invite you to stay with it as much as you can. I'm going to be posting the messages online at newlifeministry.us. You can go listen to the beginning part. I'm just a man, so I might get some things not so good, not so right, or anything like that. Pray for me.
Amen.
But there's some good stuff there. There's good stuff in the book. And the Lord will make it all right in your heart and in your mind. He'll fix it so that you get what he wants you to get. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you, Lord, for this word today. And thank you for our study and for our praise and worship service, which was really off the hook. And may we have more of that. May we sing more songs of Zion. May we have greater fellowship and times together worshiping. And may we also learn the song, Lord, of the angels. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and might. Minion. May we learn to sing that song, Lord, and sing it with all of our hearts and know with our hearts and lives and minds that indeed only he is worthy to be praised. Only he is worthy to be glorified. Only Jesus is worthy to be magnified. Lord, deal with us this week. Touch our hearts. Fix our issues. Show us how to fix them. Show us what we need, Lord, to walk closer with you. Because we know the Bible says when you come, you're going to come to receive a bride without spot or blemish. So may we accomplish that in our lives, to be without spot or blemish, so there'll be no hesitation when you call us home. Keep everyone here, Lord, under the care of your wing, until, according to your will, we come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.